CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for the next hour or so as we get together at this time to answer questions about the Bible. So many things going on in the world. Hey, it's good to know God's got it under control. So I just want to encourage you today, if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, please give us a call. We'll do our very best to answer that for you from what the Bible tells you. That number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. And again, I'm so grateful for all the things that God has done through CSN continuing. And so, again, being about our Father's business, so important. Joining me today, special guest, John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC, comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer here on the CSN Radio Network. Hi and welcome, John.
Mike, great to be here with you today, and good to see you and be with the CSN family. I tell you, Tuesdays is a highlight. I always love to come on and talk to all our friends around the country, and blessed to be with you.
Amen. It's always good to be with you. What's going on down at Calvary South OC?
Well, this weekend, Mike, we actually have a women's conference here entitled Refresh. It's actually the 10th annual conference that our women's ministry puts on, and it ministers to those who are pastors' wives or women who serve in various capacities in the ministry. And really, as the title suggests, Refresh, it's the desire of these ladies just to minister to them. And so they spend a couple days in worship and the Word. They have workshops and just a great time. So that's happening this weekend. So there's a lot happening here on Friday and Saturday. So looking forward to that.
Amen. It's always a blessing, and looking forward to answering some questions with you. Again, you know, John, so many things going on in the world right now. I was really dismally disappointed with AP News and Newsweek magazine. And here's why. They said that Ukraine did a Pearl Harbor on Russia on their planes. Nothing is farther from the truth, everybody. That is a very, very terrible way to put that Ukraine did to Russia, to compare it to Pearl Harbor. What a disgrace to all those that served in the military, those who lost aunts and uncles, grandpas and grandmas in the Second World War, to compare what Ukraine did to Russia as Pearl Harbor. Now, first of all, let's get this straight, AP News, that we were at peace with Japan. They surprise bombed us. However, Russia invaded the Ukraine, and Ukraine has been retaliating ever since. So there was no Pearl Harbor here in any way, shape, or form. And what a disgrace it is to refer to that attack with their drones, which was justified, but comparing it to Pearl Harbor when we were at peace with a nation who surprise attacked us. And I believe, again, the American news media needs to be extremely closely watched on junk reporting like this. Again, most of the news we get from the American news media is advocacy journalism. They are out to promote an idea. And to diminish what happened at Pearl Harbor is a disgrace to journalism. And there's no other words for it. So again, be careful when you watch the American news media, because they're really not telling you the truth. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And before we go to the phones, John, what's your take on the situation? You know, we're seeing things globally right now. It looks like Russia's on the verge of World War III. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's very concerning. You know, Jesus did tell us in his Olivet Discourse that as we get closer to his return, that we would see several signs, one of which is nation rising against nation. And it seems that it just continues to escalate. I know that people are trying to de-escalate the situation diplomatically. I'm not sure what's going to happen. It is concerning, and we need to be praying for peace. There are Christians there in the Ukraine that love Jesus. There are Russians that are Christians, and I'm sure they don't want any part of this war, and yet they find themselves caught in the middle of it. I don't know all of the details. Everybody has their opinion on it. James tells, you know, where do fights and wars come from? You know, it starts in the heart of men, and there's a lot involved, and I'm praying for peace, and I'm looking forward to the day when the Prince of Peace comes and they beat their swords into plowshares, the Bible says, and they won't learn war anymore. Until that time, we live in a world that is on the brink of constant war. I don't know if there's been a day of peace since World War II on this planet. I mean, there's some, either a civil war, a tribal war, or nations. And it's kind of, it's concerning because of what the capabilities are, Mike, with when it comes to nuclear aspects of things. But we just keep looking for the Lord. He's in control.
Yeah. So much for the dawning of the age of Aquarius. To the phones we go. 8888 Ask the Ascends. Number to call, we have Karen on the line in Massachusetts. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Oh, thank you. Hi, it's so nice to talk to you, Pastor Mike. I listen to you guys all the time. I'm trying to explain to my granddaughters about rainbows because they're learning in school and from their aunt that it's scientific and that dinosaurs never really existed, you know, because even though we have all these bones, there's really, we have no proof because they're not there anymore. And I'm really struggling with this because my daughter-in-law is really pushing this, this no God thing, you know, and I told them all about the Ark, and they were, my children were raised in a Christian home. But my daughter married a Catholic gentleman who's taking his kids to CCB, and they don't learn the Old Testament. They're learning about saints. And I've told them about the Ark, and I've told them about, you know, God's promise and sending a rainbow. But I feel like I'm losing this battle with the rainbow and with the dinosaurs, and I'm looking for help.
Well, dinosaurs are real. We're real. And we very much are aware of that. Denying that simply shows a lack of education and a lack of looking at facts. Now, why aren't they with us today? I don't believe they could survive in the new environment after the flood. But we very possibly, Noah could have taken small baby ones or adolescents on the ark. There are footprints in the strata in Texas where humans walked across and there's fossilized at the same time the dinosaurs walked across and was fossilized. Had to happen at the same time. This is in Texas. It's a fact. So these are real things. Now, to deny those things is simply, again, showing a person's disregard for actual evidence. This is a tragedy. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. I do believe it's unfortunate when we do have the evidence to deny it. And why someone would do that, I don't understand. But concerning the rainbow, you could go back to the book of Genesis, of course, and it's there that the Lord made a covenant with Noah. In fact, he said, this is the sign of the covenant that I'm making between you and me and between you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set the rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember the covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. And never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it. Remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. So we know from the Bible that God set that rainbow in the sky as a reminder, a promise. Now, there have been those who have tried to take that from us, but we know what it means. We know what it points to. It points to a promise of God, and anything less than that is less than that. And it's important to remember that. I love, you know, Mike, where you're at right now, I'm sure you see them on a regular basis. Over here in Southern California, you get to see these rainbows, and it's always a great reminder to me of the faithfulness of God, that he keeps his promises. And it's pretty amazing. We also see in Revelation that a rainbow shows up around the throne of God, these colors that are that John sought to describe, also pretty magnificent, pointing to the promises of God. So, yeah, we'll be praying for that. I think, you know, as a grandparent myself, I just want to keep imparting to my grandkids the truth and the opportunities that I have, and trust that God's word doesn't return void. And so I just would encourage you along those lines to continue that and be praying. And I think it's a good thing. We send them books. We let them read books about the Lord, about the Bible, about different things. And maybe their parents will let them see that. And that could be used as a help as well.
Now, is this a school, a Christian school doing this, or is this a secular school?
This is public school. And to them, the rainbow is a pride thing, because I live in liberal Massachusetts, you know, right, just south of Boston. And so every time they see a rainbow, they're thinking, you know, pride and, you know, everybody's equal and all. And I'm like, no, this is a God thing. And I, you know, and I'm a missionary kid and a pastor's kid. And so I read them the Bible stories. I tell them the Bible stories. I pray with them and I try to correct them and redirect them. But it's hard. It's really a struggle as a grandparent. I didn't, you know, it was no problem getting my kids to youth group and Sunday school and missions trips and everything. But none of them are walking with the Lord right now. And none of them will stand up to their spouses and say, well, you know, this is a God thing. So it's really a hard thing. And I know about the dinosaurs. And she, oh, no, it all comes from evolution. I'm like, oh, good Lord, this cannot be happening to me. You know, stop this, because there's no proof. I mean, there's nothing that goes from an ape to a human. So where did the steps come from? Where is this? And as I'm fighting, I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle, honestly.
Well, Darwin himself said the problem with this theory is that there's no transitory or transitional life forms, fossilized or living. He himself said that. And so it's then a theory. But here's the problem. Keep telling a lie long enough, and they leave the word theory off, and now it's fact. But evolution is a big lie, and they know it. They know about DNA. They know how cross species don't reproduce, or if they do, they're sterile, like a horse and a donkey makes a mule, but the mule is sterile. See, this is the problem that they, you know, it's so funny, because they hold on to the theory as if it's science, but real science, like thermodynamics and these others, they throw the real science out the window in order to hold on to their evolutionary goofball ideas. And this is the great problem. Do you know evolution cannot explain the ear or the eye? Because you had to have tear ducts formed to keep the eyeball wet. At the same moment that the optic nerves had to hook it to the brain would have to have receptors to understand what the optic nerve is sending to it. There would have to be an eyelid and a lens form exactly at the same time. It's impossible. Isn't it weird that in the book of Proverbs, it says the eye and the ear, God made both of them. It's the two anomalies. There is no explanation whatsoever in the evolutionary idea. This is a problem. But again, when you see this go on, it's represented as fact. This is where I believe that they are simply just those that loveth a lie and maketh a lie. I think this is right. Falls right into that. Johnny, last thoughts.
Oh, I was going to say, there are some great resources in Answers to Genesis. Is a great help, a tool there. They got a lot. Answers in Genesis. Ken Ham puts out some great things. You know, he has that huge ark, by the way, literal size there in Kentucky that you can visit. But great stuff for kids on there. And so maybe you might look into that and pass some of that on to your grandkids. They might that might help them.
Yeah, they might really enjoy that, because, again, I'll send you a little DVD called God of Wonders, and it goes and covers a lot of this. It may very well be possible that once you guys are done watching it, take it to her teacher and say, here, I'd like you to watch this. Tell me what's wrong with it. See what she says. I think that would be a real possibility there. I will get that out to you, as well as a couple others as well. Okay, dear?
That would be so sweet. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. I appreciate you and everything that you do. Thank you so much.
We like to help you, Karen, do a better job, as well as everybody that calls in here, do a better job for our king. That's why we give away stuff. It isn't, well, we'll give it away for a donation. No, we're just giving it away to you because we want to equip the saints the best we can. And so stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Father, I pray you give Karen wisdom in dealing with this situation. And Father, that you'd give her the right words to speak to her kids. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Karen. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Leilani in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Yes. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with David Higa Hernandez, and he's a pastor, I believe, out of the East. I don't know exactly what church he's in, but I follow him and I pay money for his channel on YouTube. And I just recently started following him, but I had brought it up to another pastor, a friend of mine that I attend Bible study with through Zoom. And so he listened to a few videos that David had, and he called me back the following day, and he said to not follow him and not listen to him because he doesn't talk about repentance in his ministry. And he basically just described him as a modern-day Ben Hinn.
Oh, Benny Hinn?
So, yeah. Benny Hinn, yeah. So I don't know if you guys have heard him because he has a huge following on social media, Facebook. I follow him on Facebook as well and YouTube.
What do you think, John? I have not heard.
I am not very familiar with who he is. David Hernandez. Is it David Hernandez Ministries? Does that sound correct? Is that what it's called?
It's David Higa Hernandez.
Okay.
I don't know if he calls it as a ministry, but the thing that
David Diga,
call,
Diga yeah. with a D, right? Not thing, Higa with a H. Okay.
H-I-G-A.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, it says here that he is a evangelist, best-selling author, YouTuber, healing minister, and he's a friend of the Holy Spirit, it says. His evangelistic healing ministry holds encounter services all around the world and reaches millions of people through media. He has a passion to win the lost, etc. You know, when I read a description of somebody like this, it does make me a little concerned. He's a healing minister and he's a friend of the Holy Spirit. That's how he's described in his bio. I don't know. I'm looking at what he believes, the beliefs, Mike. And of course he, you know, doctrinally, he believes that, salvation from sin and hell is found exclusively in Jesus. And the identity of Jesus, we believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So it all seems right. But I think just because your webpage says that you believe these things, do you teach them? And so what I would encourage you to do is to make sure that what he's saying, and again, I've never listened to a thing that this guy has taught, but no matter who it is, what does the Bible say concerning how is he teaching the word? What does it look like when he teaches, and does it compare to scripture, or is he taking it out of its context? But even in the description of his bio, it makes me a little bit concerned when I read the description of him myself as a healing minister and holds encounter services all around the world. I don't know what all that is about, Mike, personally.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know who he is. I don't want to make a comment.
Right.
But part of coming to Christ is repentance. Now, it is true that without Jesus' help in our life, we can't really repent. It's impossible for man to be good on his own. I mean, anybody that's got kids, you know, this old sin nature goes right back to when they're 3 years old is when it manifests, but we're born with it. There's no way around it. But the Bible says to repent. And so that is what we have to do. There has to be a willingness for God to begin his restorative process in our life. And so, you know, just slip Jesus in your pocket and climb to the top. That is not really a biblical message. It sounds spiritual, but it's not. Because, again, a man cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. You're going to love one, hate the other, hate one, love the other. And so we have to understand that there has to be a repentance involved. So, Lena, I hope that helps.
Yeah, and also one of the reasons why I wanted to call is because he had a church service maybe 2 days ago over the weekend, this past weekend, and I went ahead and I watched it on YouTube, and he was doing a lot of healing where people were falling back, you know, just brings back memories of what Benny Hinn used to do. But they were not like convulsing or anything. They were just falling back. And I'm like, you know, that kind of made me question it a little bit more. And yeah. I brought it over to another pastor.
Well, we have a lot in the church right now is what I call non-reason religious experience. In other words, there's supernatural things going on or fake things going on, but never prescribed in God's word. Now, this is in contrary to what Jesus taught, that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And yet within the church, we find so many non-biblical behaviors going on. You know, feathers blowing out of air conditioning ducts and gold dust. You know, we find, you know, the holy laughter, holy howling. We find these fake things that are in the church. And we just need to be aware. We need to compare anything, everything that we see to God's word. Now, it is true in the Bible, as the Roman guards guarding Jesus's tomb were knocked down. But generally speaking, when you find people that are knocked down, they are non-believers, not believers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm just reading a little bit more up on his encounters and things that he puts out. It's entitled The Holy Spirit Encounter Service. So the whole service is to have you encounter the Holy Spirit. And so in this service, there you will be able to, it's billed as you will see a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit. You'll see salvation, healing, deliverance, fresh touch of God's power. Come and experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And two powerful worship services. A lot of the description here, Mike, reminds me a lot of some of those movements that are concerning and do some things that are unbiblical. So I can't say for a fact, having not attended it, but just reading it, I would definitely run it through the grid of scripture. If I had the time to look at one of his services and listen to what he was teaching, I would probably be able to discern a little bit more. But I'm just reading how they're billing his gatherings. There's one in Anaheim and different places. So it sounds like he has quite a following, but it's all about encountering the Holy Spirit. And through the demonstration of God's power, you're going to be healed, delivered, and empowered. This is how they present it.
So I hope that answers your question for you, dear.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I wish we could give you more information, but again, I think, you know, I we don't find anywhere in the New Testament to come to a meeting to encounter the Holy Spirit. It was to preach the gospel, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. You're a sinner. You need to be saved by grace. And so by the very nature of the purpose, I'm brought into question now, because again, if they're promoting something other than purely God's word, this is a bit of an issue. And when I see things that are basically saying, come out and see a show, this is troubling sometimes. So Lenny, I wish we could give you more information, but stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, something I know you'll really like. Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you. If you get any more questions, please call us. Let's go to Frank in Marina, California. Hi, and welcome. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
How can we help?
Well, I need prayer because June the 12th, I'm going to go have surgery on my right eye. I don't have vision on my left eye because I've had this glaucoma for a long, long time, and I'm taking eye drops. And the doctor has said if I don't have the surgery again, I'm going to go blind. So I'm doing everything I can, Pastor Mike, to stay on the eye drops. I've had eye drops. I've been getting these eye drops for a long, long, long time. And so I'm doing everything I can to prevent from becoming blind, you know?
So, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So right now I can't see very well, but I'm just trusting the Lord, you know, that he's going to heal me. So I need prayer.
Well, let's pray right now, because, you know, God loves you, and all those that need a healing touch from God, let's just pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, who heals, would you please extend your hand of healing to Frank and those that need a touch from you this afternoon. God, you're the healer of our bodies. You made us. Lord, we pray that you would preserve Frank's eyesight. And Lord, that you'd even heal his other eye as well. And so we ask you that you would guide the surgeon's hands. If not, divinely heal him, God. But we ask you, Lord, for the very best and to preserve Frank's eyesight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
John, any last thoughts?
Yeah, we'll be praying for you, Frank, and the Lord would touch you. And thanks for calling in today, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.
Being about our daddy's business, so important. Frank, may the Lord just grant you your sight in Jesus' name. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of with some books and DVDs. Let's go to Eddie in California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Pastor Mike. And
hi.
There, guys. Hey, what a blessing you are. I just want to share. I've been, you know, I've called in several times in the last 20, 30 years, you know, but I like to listen more than I do talk. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for the time you've devoted to God and to all us people that are like lost sheep that Jesus came for. And what a blessing you guys have been. Thank you.
Well, God is good, and he gets the glory. Now, Eddie, we're coming up on a break. We don't want you or anybody else to go away, because we're going to have a whole lot more to Every Man an Answer right after these messages. We'll be right back. Right.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday, you may meet a baby that you rescued, and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now, because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. We have with us John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by San Clemente. And when we went to the break, we were speaking with Eddie. And Eddie, we're very grateful that the Lord has, spoke to you through CSN. And I want to especially take this time to thank everybody that supports CSN, prays for us. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. I don't know. I've shared this before, but maybe you're new to the program listening. But our tower rents are about $250,000 a month. That's just to rent space for the antennas that are bolted on towers that we rent. Very few broadcasters, anyone, owns their own tower. We always rent from these tower companies. They maintenance the tower. They make sure the lights, the little red lights at night are on the towers and things like that. But everybody that's a broadcaster has to rent. Our tower rents are about $250,000 a month. Friends, that's pretty staggering because we have nearly 500 stations. And so because of that, I want to say thank you to all of you that support CSN, that pray for us, that support our programmers as well. Thank you. Great is your reward in heaven. And again, you know, Eddie, I'm glad that together we can do something that individually we could never do. Did you have a question you'd like to ask us?
Yes, I do. First of all, I just wanted to thank you for your service to the Lord, and I'm going to start donating regularly because I'm glad you said something about that, about how much you guys got to shell out every month. It's an astounding amount. I'm going to start giving religiously because it's a command from God, you know, and to you share with your brothers and stuff. And I wanted to ask if, have all the prophecies been fulfilled yet?
Yes, I believe the Lord can come back at any moment. And again, the chief of these being based on Luke 21, the rebirth of Jerusalem under Jewish control. Jesus goes on a few verses later in Luke 21 and says, the generation that sees this, speaking of the rebirth of Jerusalem under Jewish control, all the prophecies will have been fulfilled. So I believe we're running out of time. I tell everybody everywhere, every day, whatever you're going to do for God, do it now. Don't put it off. Be about your Father's business. Great is your reward in heaven. John, your thoughts.
I would agree with that, Mike. You know, we believe in what is called the imminent return, meaning likely to happen at any moment. And we believe that there's nothing left on the prophetic calendar of the Lord for these things to take place. And so, you know, when you live in light of the Lord's return, it really has a present effect. When you know he's coming or he could come at any time, it really does affect the way that you live. And I think that's important to live in light of the imminent return of Jesus. And so I'm so grateful for that. And we want to keep looking up. The Bible says our redemption is drawing near. It's nearer than when we first believed. So we don't know the day or the hour, but we certainly see things going on and we know it's just a matter of time. And so until the Lord comes, we're just faithful to seek to fulfill the Great Commission. And when he blows the trumpet, man, we're gone and looking forward to that day.
Amen. And so, and then, oh, everybody, then the world's going to get what they always wanted, a world without God. Yeah, that's right. The Antichrist is going to try to replace Jesus on this earth. And you know, it's funny, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. So the idea of we're on the dawn of the age of Aquarius, big lie. We're headed for total annihilations. The Bible again says, unless those days were shortened. Actually, probably, the tribulation period would have went on longer than 7 years. Certainly the world deserves it. But because man would have completely destroyed himself, God limited it to just 7 years. Totally incredible. Eddie, stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs. We'll just get those into your hands. Share them with your friends. If you need more, please let us know, okay?
Thank you.
And may God get the glory on everything. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to John, San Juan Capistrano, California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, my question is Abraham. Now, where does it say in the Bible that Abraham was a Gentile, from my understand? I just need some scripture to confirm that. Also, wasn't he... This is like before you know, Jesus died on the cross, right? So how can he be a Gentile? It's, and when somebody said that to me in a Bible study, I just said, gosh, this, I got to ask you guys. So I'm just gonna listen. Go ahead. If you could give me scriptures. Well, where
Abraham was a Gentile. And God singled him out and said, of you, I'm going to make a great nation. And God changed this, put his mark upon him, and he became literally the first person to worship Yahweh, and God singled him out. Now, we find nothing that Abraham did to gain the attention of God. In other words, one day Abraham was out there and he washed some sheep up, and God says, you're really a good little boy, or you're really a good adult. I'm going to make of you a great nation. No, God just singled him out. Isn't it weird that God singles all of us out as well to be in his kingdom? For God so loved the world. But he was the first Jew, and God singled him out and made of him, as his word says, a great nation. As stars are in the heavens, sand is on the seashore, so his descendants are. Your thoughts?
You know, if you go back to the book of Genesis, we get to read, as Mike was pointing out, that Abraham's name originally was Abram. And he was born in Ur of the Chaldeans, a city in ancient Mesopotamia, which is basically modern day Iraq. But he came out of a pagan culture. And in that culture, they worshiped many gods. In fact, according to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2, Joshua cites Abraham's ancestors, including his father Terah, that he said served other gods. And Abraham was a Gentile in that sense. A Gentile, simply someone who is not a Jew. The term Jew comes from the word Judah, one of the tribes of Israel, and more broadly refers to the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. But we do read there in Genesis chapter 14, verse 12, that Abraham, in Genesis 14, verse 13, rather, Abraham is called Abraham the Hebrew. And that's the first time that term appears there in the book of Genesis. And Hebrew likely coming from that word Eber, one of Abraham's ancestors in Genesis 10:21, but he becomes the father of the Jewish people in the sense that they came from him, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob to the 12 tribes, to the nation of Israel eventually, all linking back to Father Abraham, as we used to sing, had many sons. That's how it all started. That's how it all began. And God did place a mark on him, and God did set him apart and his descendants. And so it's a good question that you ask. The other thing, Mike, that I think is encouraging when you think about Abraham is, and this is something that Paul mentions later on, is that Abraham is like us in the sense that he came to faith in Christ before the law was given, before circumcision was ever instituted. He believed God, and God counted it unto him as righteousness. And Paul picks up on that later on in his epistles, when he's talking about we are true descendants because we came by faith the same way that Abraham did. But it's a really good question that you ask.
Yeah, and the same way we were stumble bumbling around in our sins, Jesus comes to our life. Bible says, behold, all things pass away, all things become new. And so we're a new creature in Christ as well. So the idea of God taking what we were and making us into something else is not just something that God did for Abraham, but something he does for all of us, where Paul says we are grafted in to this family of Abraham. Hope that helps.
Well, yeah, it does. So I got one more thing. So basically Abraham, he did believe in Jesus, or no, am I way off?
Well, it is true, because if you go to the book of John, chapter 8, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, saw it, and was glad. And the Pharisees answered and said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And then we remember God said, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that's improper Hebrew. That's improper Greek. It's improper English. Before Abraham was, I was. Or before Abraham, I will. No, It's a present tense that's not correct. Before Abraham was, I am, because that's the only way you can describe God, because he lives in all times presence. Again, Revelation chapter 1, Revelation 22, I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. Okay, you know the verse. Now, the thing is, he lives in all times present. So he has to be the I am. And this is where it says the Pharisees picked up stones to stone him in John 8:59. So I believe this is why we have to be aware of who Jesus is and that he did, in fact, meet him. Whether it was the return of the slaughter of the kings, whether it was the covenant that God made with Abraham with the animals split in two and all. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I think Abraham, again, just going back to that original question, that Abraham was, as it were, Mike, he was a Gentile, but then he became the father of the Hebrew people through the covenant that God made with him. And that covenant is recorded there in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. So that's how the nation came about, came from Abraham, which is just amazing. And then, of course, from Abraham, eventually, the greatest of all would be the Messiah, Jesus Christ. To be our Messiah, he had to be a son of Abraham, he had to be a son of David, and he had to be the son of God. And Jesus fulfilled all of those through his virgin birth and his incarnation.
Hope that helps.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much, gentlemen.
God bless you, John. Stay on the line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Great to share with your friends as well. Let's go to Michael, Geneva, New York. Hi and welcome.
God bless. How are you?
Good. How may
can
we
hear
help?
Me?
Yes, we can. How can we help?
Yeah. I'm just bouncing off of the woman who called about David Judah Hernandez, if I'm saying his name right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I looked him up. He seems to be New Apostolic Reformation. I live in a charismatic Pentecostal stronghold, and I'm just wondering if you guys understand the Gnostic roots of the movement. And actually, even Calvary Chapel has some of that leaven in it as well.
Yeah, that's right. It does. Again, you know, we used to just think, oh, you just can put this on and every church believes the same. It's not true. It depends on the pastor inside the building. It depends. Many denominations do not watch what is being taught within their name brand. So we have to be very careful. But there is a lot of woke Calvary chapels out there floating around. There's a lot of different things. I tell everybody, go listen to what they say. Look where their stand is on God's word. You know, John, you probably can shine a light more on this than probably anybody else since you've been at Calvary so long. Your thoughts?
Well, I think when it comes to false teachers, and I'm sure Michael would agree with this, there's several things that the Bible points to, I think, that help us to recognize them. For one thing, there's a twisting and distorting of Scripture. You know, taking verses out of context, using them to say what you want it to say, manipulating, if you would, the Word of God to somehow benefit the individual. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, when he talks about there are those who are ignorant and unstable people, and they use the Scriptures to their own destruction. You got to watch out for that. That's why it's so important to be a student of the Bible. Another thing I think that's important is they teach a different gospel. They preach salvation through other means than Jesus. That is a false teacher. There is no salvation outside of Christ, and it's important. Paul said in Galatians 1:6-8, if anybody preaches any other gospel than the gospel we're preaching to you, let him be accursed. Literally means cut off. Another sign oftentimes of a false teacher to watch out for is greed and financial exploitation. Man, it's just a matter of time before here comes the hit. Here comes the money. This thing can't survive without you. We need to come on now. You need to, and you'll just feel it. And God's going to bless you if you bless us. And if you give, and then they take Scripture out of context. For example, they'll say, well, Jesus gave himself on the cross, so you should give to this ministry. I mean, just it's unfortunate. And what's sad is that people get into that and they believe it. Another sign is immoral behavior that follows false teachers, rejection of Christ's lordship, denying core doctrines, focus on themselves and not Christ. And then I would say a lack of fruit. All of these things, Jesus said, by your fruit, you will know them. So If you want to be able to discern between a false teacher and a true teacher, then know what God's word says. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, Mike.
Amen. So, Michael, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I hope it helps others too. You know, it's definitely in line.
Yeah.
You just have to, like I say, you just have to watch everything now. I believe, again, there's many churches that start off good, and then they start getting into building projects and they can't really afford it. And so, you know, well, we don't want to make a stand on anything because, you know, half the congregate who tithes might leave. And so, you know, and then we're going to be stuck with this big bill. So what are we going to do? I know, we'll sell miracle wallets, you know, or some other crazy idea, or just compromise the gospel altogether. It's unfortunate. It's happening. The Bible says in the last days, they will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. And what does an itching ear want to hear? It wants to be scratched. Oh, it feels so good. Hope that helps, Mike.
Yeah, God bless.
Blessings to you. Stay online. Send you out some books, DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that. And I think you'll, again, so important in these days to be about our Father's business. You know, Mike, I just want to encourage you. Thank you for being diligent and letting other people, reminding them. Thank you. Let's go to, we're going to go to somebody here. We're going to go to Chuck in Palm Desert. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
I want to go back and revisit a call from last week that was regarding Jephthah and his vow to the Lord to, okay, you got that. If he got victory over the Ammonites, he vowed to do a burnt sacrifice of whoever came out of his
whatever walks through the door.
Daughter. Yeah, and his daughter came out.
What a dopey thing to do, isn't it? I mean, talk about making irrational things. But, you know, very quickly, because I don't want to take away from your question, but people do that too. You know, they'll be talking about something. Oh, I swear to God, I didn't do that. You know, well, you know, scary stuff. Chuck, how can we help? I'm sorry.
Oh, there's an entire chapter in Proverbs about fools. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's no new thing. And so the consensus at the end of the call, as I remember it, was that you and the co-host pastor had a consensus that God would not really allow that. She went out to bewail her virginity, and that was the punishment, and he never really actually did that. He did not offer her as a burnt sacrifice. And I went back and read the text over and over, and it appears that he did, and I wanted to tell you why I think that. Now, there's Abraham and Isaac in that sacrifice, and the Lord stopped him from doing that, but he put down the wood and he laid Isaac on it, and then he was going to take the knife and take his life and then light the fire, and that would have been the burnt offering, but he was prevented from doing that. However, when Jephthah told his daughter what he did, instead of her saying, no, please don't do this, father, please don't do this, father, there must be some other way, she said, my father, you have opened your mouth to the Lord. Do to me according to what has gone forth from your mouth now that the Lord has avenged you on your enemies, on the Ammonites. And she asked him for 2 months as a favor, just give her 2 months alone to wander the mountains with her companions to, quote, bewail my virginity. And so they did that. My take on that is that it's not clearly written here. My take on that is that they were bewailing the fact that she was a virgin, she had not known a man, as it says later on, and that she would never know a man, she would never be a mom, and they were bewailing that. But the meat of it says here in verse 39, and at the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had made, And it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in the year, over and over again. But chapter 39 seems to be crystal clear that he did do it. He did build the wood and lay her on it and sacrificed her and lit the fire and had a burnt offering because of
it. Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say he lit the fire and sacrificed her. I think we have to be careful there. Now, you mentioned Isaac and Abraham. God told him to offer up Isaac. God did not tell Jephthah to offer up his daughter. And by this time, human sacrifice was appalled by God. So this is why many people believe that she, rather than being torched, was simply put away. Now, it says she bewailed her virginity. It does not say she bewailed her soon death. And so it may very well be, as it was with Samuel, that God took Samuel into the place of Eli and his sons, and there God would use him in that way. The problem that I have here with that is that she bewailed her virginity without any mention of her life. And I would think that that would be mentioned, especially when it was prohibited in Scripture. That's like saying, oh, you know, God, whatever happens, I'm gonna serve you, I'm going to go rob a bank just because I said I would do it if this thing happened. No, you're going contrary to what the Word of God says. I think that's where the problem comes. Now, I will grant you all this, that we don't know for sure. It indicates that, but then again, what she said, she bewailed her virginity, not her life. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I don't think the Bible doesn't explicitly say that she was killed, only that Jephthah did to her as he had vowed. And so I think both views are plausible. If he sacrificed her, it was a tragic violation of God's law. It doesn't say that he did, but if he consecrated her, that is, she was not able to know a man, she had to remain a virgin for the rest of her life, because at the end of verse 39 says he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed, she knew no man. And then it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel would went 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite. So either way, I think what you want to take away from the story, either way, is the danger of making rash vows to God without understanding the consequences. That is what I think you want to take away from that story. And I think you could go back and forth. I think this, I think that. And I think if it doesn't say it, it doesn't say it. It just seems to lean towards, because we know how God felt about human sacrifices, and he judged the entire nation for committing human sacrifices, that that Jephthah put her away, and she. The whole emphasis is on her not being married, not having children, not having a family, which was the most important thing to women in that culture. And it seems to lean that way, but I think, I would take away the danger of making a rash vow.
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, is that the very nation that he went out, Jephthah went out and got victory over, was one who was offering human sacrifice. Wow, now all of a sudden, you're no better than the ones you're conquering. So there's some real problems with that. But notice, again, that the children of Israel bewailed her virginity. It didn't say they bewailed her life. And so, you know, I just to tell you, Chuck, if somebody views it either way, I don't have any issues with that. But I think in looking at the continuity of Scripture and not using the idea of Isaac, because God specifically told him to do that, which was a picture type of Christ. Offer up your son, your only son. That's exactly what our Father in heaven did concerning Jesus, and he died for our sins. It's a picture type of Jesus. But this thing with Jephthah is something altogether different. But either way, I think the bottom line, just what you said, John, is that don't say dumb things. Hope that helps. Chuck, thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome, and I just want to say I agree. I agree with all of that conversation, and I know that the Abraham Isaac thing is totally different, and that was instructed by God. But I was using that only as a reference to the physical process of doing it, and that's what Jephthah would have had to do. But the only thing, and I'm not grinding an axe either. I have no axe to grind on that. He was a fool. But
yeah, and he was, and that's why we have to be very careful. That's why Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no, because what comes more of these is sin." Hope that helps. We're all out of time. Randy and the rest, please give us a call. Chuck Sandline will send you out some books and DVDs. Thanks, John, for being on. Look forward to being back with you. God bless you all. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
357-4226. Or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.